Grab your Bibles. If you got a Bible, open them up to Luke chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. We have guys with Bibles to bring them to you. Put them up high in the air and they'll bring you a Bible by. And let's open up to Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 19 we're covering today. Luke chapter 4, the purpose of Jesus' coming. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Father, God, how we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for a time, God, just to come together, Lord, to seek your face, Lord. God, to hear your word, and God, to be ministered to now by your Spirit. Lord, even as we ministered to you by worship, now I pray that you would minister to us by the power and the authority of your life-giving word. Lord, open our hearts to receive it. Open our ears to hear it. And God, speak to the needs that are here today. God, there are needs that are here. There are those here today, God, with many different conditions. And I pray now, Lord, that you would speak to each different condition that is in this room by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, as we continue on in the book of Luke, what we're looking at today is the purpose of Jesus' coming. Now, let me say this. Some of you guys are saying, well, come on, the purpose of Jesus' coming is very, very obvious. The Bible says that in the garden that man sinned and man was separated from God at that point, and the only way to reconnect man back to God was by the death of his son on the cross. And then the resurrection 3 days later so that we too could live forever with him. That's the basic gospel. Most of you have heard that. And so you think, well, what is the purpose of Jesus coming? That's the purpose. I know the purpose, but let me say this. And I say this on purpose. Not only did he have a purpose for coming to connect us back to God, but guys, he didn't stop there. Jesus didn't save you just to get you saved. He saved you to love you. And he saved you to have a personal relationship with you. And he saved you to meet your personal, individual needs. And guys, some of you here this morning have them. Right now, there's some of you that have come this morning and you're feeling very heavy. Some of you may be feeling confused. Maybe some of you wondering why you even came. Maybe a friend invited you and you've never even given your life to Jesus Christ. There's all different hearts that are in this room today. And God, by his Spirit, will meet each and every one of you and draw each and every one of you and us to himself to meet the personal need. You see, when you come in the kingdom, you're not just like stamped with a number. Nope. And there's 4,895,600. Hey, nice to meet you, 4,869,900. Wait, nice to meet you. No, he knows you guys individually and he cares, and there's specific things he wants to meet in your life. And that's what we're going to see today. As Luke records Jesus and his call and really what he was doing, and you could almost call this Jesus, his call, if you will. He came to meet specific conditions, not just to tie us back to the Father, but guys, to meet our needs. Now notice what it says here in verse 14. And remember, last week we saw Jesus and the temptation in the wilderness as Satan came and just tried his best to thwart Jesus at the very beginning of his call. Now we see Jesus starting his call. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding region." Now note that he returned in the power of the Spirit. Remember, before he was driven into the wilderness, God empowered him with his Spirit. And we talked about how important it is as a believer, before you step out into ministry, before you step out into the world to be a witness, what has to happen? You need to be empowered by God's Spirit. It's not something that the flesh can do. It's not something that we can do on our own. Listen, if Jesus Christ needed to be empowered in order to do ministry, where does that leave us, guys? Think about it. If Jesus, God, walking in the flesh on earth, needed the empowering of the Spirit, how much more do we? I might even add, if Jesus needed to pray, and we see him sneaking away on a regular basis to pray. If Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we need to? Guys, we need that connection with the Father. We need that power. Jesus now comes back after resisting this temptation, walking in the power of the Spirit. And might I add, For those of you that use the sword of the Spirit to fight temptation, remember when temptation comes, what do? We talked about it last week. It is written, remember? It is written. What's your area of stumble? You memorize scripture in that area of stumble, and when the enemy comes, you say the same thing Jesus did, it is written. But here's the clincher. If you are an it is written person, and you see God's power and victory in your life in these areas where Satan comes to you, you're also going to walk in the Spirit and power when you return to Galilee. That is, Satan is going to leave you alone. The temptations are going to stop coming at some point until a more opportune time, as we saw last week. But guys, then you're going to be walking in the power of the Spirit. That's where Jesus is. He's ready for ministry. He knows now he's been empowered by the Father. He knows how to defeat the enemy. And now he's going into enemy territory to take ground. And notice it says that he went throughout, the news of him spread throughout all the region. And that will always be the case of someone filled with the Spirit. If you guys go to your workplace and you're filled with the Spirit, I can guarantee you news will spread about you throughout all the region. Well, let me say this. News will spread throughout all the office. Because people are going to know. And I'll tell you what happens. You may get some fun made of you at first. But when somebody has a crisis in their life, you know who they're going to come to? They're going to come to you. Because they see the power in your life and they see that you're different. There's something about you that I don't have. There's something about you that I don't want. Remember Nicodemus when he goes to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something about you that I don't have. I'm a pastor in Israel. I'm a leader. I lead the people, but you've got something I don't have. What is it? Jesus said, listen, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, unless you are born a second time, the first time in the flesh, the second time in the Spirit, you can't go to heaven. What? What do you mean I can't go to heaven? I'm a pastor, for crying out loud. I can go to heaven. I did this my whole life. No, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, Jesus said, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Guys, that's across the board for everybody. And so again, Jesus now going in this power, his fame spreads throughout the surrounding region. People hear, this guy's different. He's not normal. God's doing something with this guy and the people that are following him around that he's not doing other places. Let's go check it out. Let's see what's happening. It was the power of the Spirit. But notice what he does. And again, really, that's his first purpose, guys. When we talk about the purpose of the Lord, the purpose is, the first purpose, he was a witness to God's power. And he was a witness to the Father's faithfulness. And guys, we need to be a witness as well. You see, Jesus has the call to be a witness, but so do we. I heard a story just this week about a guy that was at a red light. And you guys have been there. He's at a red light, and the lady's in front of him. Well, someone's in front of him. The story said it was a lady, but I don't want to offend anybody. It's too late. It's out there. But there was this person in front of this guy. A very good driver. Strong citizen in the community. Anyway, the light turns green, and guys, you've done this. I've done this before. You know, you're looking down, reading something, you know, there at the red light, and it turns. And you know what I found? If that happens, you know, people are so nice, they'll let you know. They touch on their horn. Oh, yeah. You know, and you go, well, the light turns green, and this guy turns red. Because he's thinking, you know what? A green light is a command. It's not a suggestion. It means go, you know, and so let's get moving. Come on. And so he starts ranting and raving. The guy telling the story said this guy was ranting and raving and beating his steering wheel, yelling at this lady, and the light turned red. She looks up, and it's too late to go. So behind him, he doesn't know there's a cop. The cop comes up, knocks on the window, and gets him out of the car and arrests the guy and takes him away. Well, the guy's furious. He's like, you can't arrest me for getting mad and screaming and yelling and banging on the steering wheel. So they have him in jail for like 2 hours. The cop comes back. They let him out of jail, and he goes, you guys had never the last of this. So what are you doing arresting me? I yelled at some woman. I beat the steering wheel. That's not against the law. He said, well, how can you arrest me for that? You're going to hear from my lawyer. He said, sir, we didn't arrest you for beating your steering wheel and yelling at the lady. He said, we noticed that on your rearview mirror there was a cross hanging, and on your bumper it said, Jesus saves, and your license plate said, you know, God is real, and you had a fish there on your bumper. And he said, we thought the car was stolen. That's a reminder to those of us who have those little insignias on our vehicle, the way we're conducting ourselves inside of the car. But guys, listen, we're called to be a good witness because people are watching us, and we're called to be, Jesus was a good witness, and his fame spread throughout all the surrounding region. And notice what he did next. Look at verse 15. It says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Guys, here's the next purpose I want to bring out of why Jesus came. He came to teach us the word of God. You see what's happening right now, opening up the Bible, going line by line, verse by verse. Jesus did that in the synagogues. He taught. Again, he also was a preacher. We'll see that in just a moment. But he also was a teacher. And guys, I think that any preacher that's worth his salt is also going to be a teacher. And any teacher that's worth his salt from time to time will also be a preacher. But there's got to be the teaching of the word. Jesus came to teach us his word. And guys, he's also called you to be teachers of his word. What that means is when you're around other people and you're sharing, you need to be, listen, you know what it's like. You're standing there in the group saying, well, I think God's this way. Well, I think Jesus is that way. Well, I don't think God will send anyone. And all these different things. Well, I think. Listen, guys, we've got the word of God. We can say, you know what? You don't have to think. You can just read. It tells us what he's like. It tells us what he said. And you know what? I know you said that you think that, you know, everyone's going to heaven, but it says right here in John 14:6, Jesus himself said, no one goes to the Father except by me, which means I guess everyone is not going. And see, you need to be knowing the word good enough and being able to teach the word good enough to know what the Bible says so that even as Jesus went about teaching, we need to be going about teaching as well, guys, sharing the word of God. You know, it's amazing how many things that people just don't know. People don't know the Bible says that. I hear this one all the time. The Bible says, well, wait a minute. The Bible says you shall not kill. And what about war? And what about this? And what about capital punishment? Guys, the Bible didn't say anywhere you shall not kill. The Bible says you shall not murder. Two very different words in the Hebrew. When the Ten Commandments were given, God said, thou shalt not murder. And the word means to put someone to death without a cause. That's very different from other reasons, if you will. And so again, not to get off on a whole side note, a whole side tangent, but listen, if we don't know the word, what happens when that comes up? What happens when we see that kind of thing take place? What happens when people say, well, wait a minute, the Bible says that God went in and used his armies to do whatever it was here in the Bible. Wait a minute, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. The Bible's contradictory. No, no, that's where we knowing the Bible can say the Bible didn't say thou shalt not kill. Different Hebrew word. The Bible says thou shalt not murder. And there does come a time when God has to judge. And so when God does judge, well, that's just part of the consequences. But if you don't know the word, and again, how do you deliver the word? In love. The way we deliver it, in love. You don't beat somebody over the head with a Bible. You don't get in their face and yell at them. You've seen that approach, have you not? But guys, as I've told you before, listen, before I gave my life to the Lord, I didn't need anybody to tell me that I was going to hell. I knew where I was going. I needed somebody to walk up to me and say, Mark, Jesus has a new plan for you. He'll give you a brand new life. He will set you free. He'll forgive you. And man, has he got something exciting lined up for your life if you'll just follow him. And guys, I can tell you honestly, it has been an adventure since that decision was made. But see, that's what Jesus did. He came not only to save, he came teaching. But notice he goes on. Look at verse 16. It says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, if you're an underliner, there's a good one, note that, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, why do I say underline as his custom was? Guys, Jesus was regular in fellowship. That was his custom. From the time he was a child all the way through adulthood, he was regular in fellowship. Now, let's give this a balance. This is not one of those, you know, if you don't go to church, you're in sin. This is saying, listen, guys, we need to be regular in fellowship. The Bible tells us we need to be regular in fellowship because we need that encouragement. We need to hear the word of God taught as well as we need to be in the word of God ourselves. We need to pray. We need others praying for us. We're a family and we need to be together. And you might say, well, yes, but I meet God on the trails. You know, Sunday, I hike the trails in the Smokies and I meet God there. Listen, you can meet God great on the trails. I mean, the Bible says God reveals himself by his creation, by his glory is revealed by creation. That's wonderful. But it doesn't take the place of God's ordained coming together as a body of Christ and seeking the Lord together in his word and in prayer and in worship. Listen what it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Listen to this. Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews, I believe it was Paul, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Guys, we need to be together in fellowship. Now, remember Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The early church is getting started and God lays out the foundation through his word, if you will. He lays out the foundation for the church, I believe. What God's desire is for the church. And listen what it says. He gives four main pillars of what a church should be doing. Number one, it says, and as they continued steadfastly, or rather they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Guys, I believe those are the four pillars the church should be focusing on. Now, not that other things are not important, But notice the foundation God laid here when the church was first born there in Jerusalem. The apostles' doctrine, the word of God, in other words. Teaching of the word of God is what they were doing. Notice, secondly, fellowship. Guys, that is coming together in the assembling of believers, being together. And of course, breaking of bread, communion, we do that on Wednesday nights, the first Wednesday night of every month. And also in prayers, that is seeking the Lord. And notice also, it says he got up to read. Guys, he not only was regular, he got involved. Let me tell you how the synagogue service worked. You would go in, the priest would read, then a Levite would read something, and then five others from the congregation would get up and share. Which one of those Jesus was in this process, I don't know. But the bottom line is, Jesus didn't just warm the pews, so to speak. We would say, here, warm the seats. He got involved. And so, guys, it's coming to fellowship, but it's also saying, Lord, you know what? What do you want me to do? Where have you called me? What is my call? What am I supposed to be doing? I want to get going. Jesus did it. And he sets the example for us. Again, giving us that example. And notice what happens as he stands up to read. It says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, understand, the books back then were scrolls. They had other types of books, but scrolls. You would unroll these scrolls. And so they hand the Lord the scroll. He unrolls it to this place right here. And notice he begins to read about himself. And next week, as we go on, we're going to see he says, what you have heard today, guys, has been fulfilled. But notice what Jesus came to do. And guys, here's the crux of what we're looking at today. What Jesus came to do. Listen what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Number one, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, guys, let me say this. Yes, the poor financially, but guys, I believe more importantly, and what he's talking about here is the poor in spirit. That is those who realize they have a spiritual need. Guys, Jesus came to say, you know what? I'm here for those who realize they have a spiritual need. You know, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they didn't realize they had a spiritual need. When the Sadducees and the Pharisees showed up, they said, we don't have a spiritual need. We're doing fine. We're the leaders. You know nothing, and you need to listen to us. But guys, the common people, and I like that because I'm common people, the common people said, the Bible says, heard him gladly because they realized they had a need. Guys, you know when you came to Jesus Christ, you knew you had a need. And right now, there's some of you here this morning, you're saying, you know what? I'm poor in spirit. I may have money, but I have a spiritual need and I am spiritually bankrupt. Listen, one of the reasons Jesus came was to touch you today. One of the reasons he came, one of the reasons he brought you here today. You might be thinking, man, I just kind of strolled in today and I thought I'd try out this new church and see what's going on, you know. And again, you're wondering, what am I even doing here? Hey, listen, I'll tell you what you're doing here. You may not realize it, but the Bible says that God has brought you here. This is a God-ordained thing. And God says, my timing is perfect and my word is perfect. And if you realize that you're poor in spirit, then you need to let me minister to that. Because guys, here's the thing. Listen, if you know you've got a spiritual need, Jesus is here to meet it. That's what he came to do. Understand, this is what he came to do. You ever heard people say, well, you don't understand me. My sin's too bad. I've done too much. God would never come for me. Understand this. This is why he came. He said, I didn't come for those who are well. I came for those who are sick. That was his ministry. So he says, I've come for the poor. Notice what else he says. Next, he says, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Guys, Jesus has come to take those hearts that are broken in pieces and to put them back together. You know, it's interesting. The brokenhearted here, it means literally a crushed or shattered heart or one that is broken in little pieces. Guys, you know anybody that has a shattered heart? That's crushed? That's broken in little pieces? Jesus came for that person. And again, maybe you're that person today. Maybe you're sitting here going, you know what? I do have a shattered heart. I can't believe I came today. My heart is so broken. I'm just so crushed. And all of a sudden the pastor starts talking about this. What a coincidence. And God says, no, there's no coincidence. I brought you here today because I wanted you to know that I've seen your heart and I've seen that it's crushed and I've seen that it's broken. And I'm going to put on Pastor Mark's heart to talk about that and to tell you that I see it and to tell you that today I want to touch it and I want to heal it. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to let me touch it and let me heal it because I'm not going to force myself on you. You see, Jesus is very much a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. That is why we shouldn't be in people's face screaming the gospel. As the Bible says that you don't throw pearls to swine. The principle is this. Don't try to cram Jesus down people's throat. They won't receive it. But share and let them know that God loves them. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I've got a broken heart. Really? Do you know Jesus came because of that? What? I thought he came because of sins. No, yeah, he did. But he also came. One of the reasons he came was to heal broken hearts. And right now, you know what? Do you want to pray? And let's just ask Jesus to touch your broken heart. Let's ask him to do a work in you and to touch you. And guys, he'll do it right there. But see, the good news is he'll do it right now for you. Notice what it goes on. Listen to what he says now. Also, thirdly here, he also came to preach deliverance to the captives. Guys, the word there is literally POW, prisoner of war. Now get the picture here. Jesus has come to deliver the spiritual prisoner of war. Jesus has come to deliver the spiritual POW. Guys, you got some spiritual POWs in your workplace? They're there every day. You know they don't know Christ. You see the fruit in their life. They're talking about the parties. They're talking about the women. They're talking about whatever. Guys, listen, they are a prisoner of war. They've been taken captive by the enemy, the Bible says, to do his will. Our job is to let them know, you know what? Listen, aren't you miserable? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am miserable. But I feel like I'm trapped. I feel like I can't get out of this. There's no way I can just stop. I can't just walk away. I mean, after all of my friends are doing it. I don't know anybody else. And this is kind of my only choice. This is my place in life. I am trapped. I am a prisoner. Really? I've got good news for you. Look with me here in Luke 4, you can tell him. Jesus, look, one of the reasons he came. He said he came to set the spiritual prisoner of war free. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, "And the God of this age has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel." Now check that out. The God of this age, the enemy, the devil himself, the Bible says, has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. In essence, they've been taken captive. And guys, our job is to say, you know what? Listen, but the God of heaven will set you free. And the God of heaven can set you free. And the God of heaven will set you free. Spiritual POWs. But now look at the next thing. Look at number 4 here, what he came to do. And to give recovery of sight to the blind. Now, yes, let me say the blind literally. He did that. We saw that he gave blind people their sight. But guys, we also saw that Jesus said that there were many that were spiritually blind. And he opened up their eyes to see spiritually. So guys, a spiritual blindness. Now, those of you in here that have given your life to Jesus Christ, right now, you know the day God did that for you. I can remember the day it happened. I don't remember the date that it happened, but I remember specifically talking to my wife, and she wasn't my wife at the time, but she was sharing with me, "Mark, the Word of God is true. The Word of God is God's Word. You need to believe it." And I thought, well, the Word of God's got some nice truths in it. The Word of God has some nice things that I can plan my life around, but it's not literally God's Word. And so therefore, it was written by man, etc. And I'm telling you guys, God gave sight to the blind. In an instant, my eyes were opened, and I realized, uh-oh, this really is God's Word. It really is true, and I've got a choice to make. And you know what I did? I'd like to say that I right then said, let's pray. And you know what? I ran for 2 more years. I said, wait a minute, I can't do this. This means my life has to change. I don't want my life to change. And guys, it wasn't until God brought me to a place, and maybe he's got you there this morning, where you're saying, you know what? I need a change. I realize my life is going the wrong direction. I realize that I am a spiritual captive. I realize that I have been blinded all these years. And guys, God will supernaturally lift the blinders off of your eyes. And maybe he's done that for some of you this morning. Where now you're seeing the Word for the first time. You're seeing Jesus for the first time in a way you've never seen him. But let me say this. This is a crucial moment in every person's life. I know that God does it for every person. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that on Judgment Day, no man will have an excuse before the Lord. All men will be without excuse, the Bible says. Which means there will come some point, either today or at a later time, or else it's already happened. Guys, where your eyes have been or will be opened. Here's the key now. What do you do once they're opened? When God opened my eyes and showed me that his Word was true, I ran for 2 years. Now, I'm not suggesting that, because my life became more and more miserable day by day. What I am saying is that God was faithful to open my eyes. Guys, this is why he came. You got the guy at work, right? Oh, there's no way this guy will believe. If I start talking the Bible, he's going to say, don't tell me you believe that ancient book. You're so, oh, you're this holy roller. Listen, I can't share. This guy's going to kill me. Listen, why did Jesus come? To open the eyes of the blind. What do? You start praying, Lord, your purpose, one of your purposes for coming was to open the eyes of the blind. My boss is blind. Lord, would you do for him what you came to do? And that is, would you open his eyes? Now, I can't make him give his life to you, Lord, but I can certainly lead him to you. And guys, that's our job. Listen, you ready? Believers, here's our job. Jesus came to do all the things we're talking about and to save mankind, right? Our job is to get them to Jesus. Every time you see that somebody had a problem, what did the people do? What did the disciples do? They took them to Jesus. Everybody, listen, our job is to get them to Jesus. And I've heard people say, well, you know, you're a pastor. Really, I think pastors are really under shepherds to the true shepherd. And I want to go a step below that. I want to say, really, rather, a pastor really fits the role of a sheepdog. My job is to run around you guys and lead you to the Lord. Hey, where are you going? Hey. You know, all right, come on. Right, here's the shepherd. You're going the wrong way. There's nothing out there but wolves and beasts. And also, you need to be coming back this way. Guys, that's our job. But it's not just the job of the pastor to be a sheepdog. You're a sheepdog. And when you get to your workplace and you see all the little sheep, especially if you've got a believer there in the workplace and you see them straying off, I'm not talking about walking up and starting judging them and all. I'm talking about loving them. Walking up and saying, hey, how's it going, man? How's your walk? Well, it's not been like it should. Hey, you know, why don't you, you know, come to church with me, or why don't, let's pray together. Why don't we go and just, you know, hey, we got this men's group and this men's study. Come along. And you start kind of just rounding them up and herding them up. Guys, that's our job. Jesus came to do the work. All we've got to do is get them to Jesus. And my job this morning is not to convert anybody. I can't convert anybody. I can't save anybody. I can't do anything. I can't even teach you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's the teacher. So if God shows you anything today, it's to His glory. I'm just standing up here and I'm a mouth. And some of you agree with that more than others. But guys, Jesus is the one by His Spirit, the Bible says, that does the teaching. And Jesus is the one by His Spirit that brings all people to Himself. Our job is to get them to Jesus. And guys, what I want you to know this morning, if you're a spiritual POW, or if you're spiritually bankrupt, or if you feel that you're a captive to some sin you can't get free from, or you feel that your eyes have been blinded and, you know, you've heard that maybe the Bible's true, but it just doesn't, how could it really be? Listen, Jesus is here today to open your eyes and to show you the same thing that He showed me and many others in this room as well, that God's word is trustworthy and that it's true. But notice what else He did. Look at this, the next thing, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, the word oppressed is very interesting here. It means weighed down with heaviness, overwhelmed. It's where you feel like that you've got this huge weight on your chest. Somebody's dropped bricks down on top of you. And you're like, I just can't go another day. And maybe some of you here today are saying, I can't go another day. Maybe you come today and you're thinking about suicide. I don't know. I don't know everybody that's here. And you're thinking, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe the preacher said that. I can't believe you said, I'm thinking about suicide. I came here today. This was going to be the last thing I was going to do. And I was going home to end it all. Let me tell you something. Jesus came for you today. He came for you. Because if you're overwhelmed, if you're oppressed, if you've got a weight on your life that you don't think you can handle, guys, that's why He came. Maybe you know somebody like that. That's why He came. Jesus came to do that, to lift that oppression off. And notice here lastly, the last thing today we look at, He came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Guys, the acceptable year of the Lord. Now understand this, listen, the acceptable year of the Lord, what it means is God's favorable time. That time when God says, I have come to let everyone know they're welcome into the kingdom. They've got to come by me. They've got to repent of their sins. They've got to believe that my blood washed it away and then give their life to me. They've got to believe I died and resurrected and rose again the third day. But if they do that, it is the favorable year of the Lord, and I have come for them. Guys, listen, we live in a favorable time. We live right now in a time where the doors are open to heaven. The Bible says it won't always be that way. The Bible says there's going to come a day when Jesus Christ is going to return, and I believe that day is very near, especially what the Bible says in Daniel and Revelation and what we see going on in the Middle East and over in Europe. The Bible talks about the one world government forming out of Europe. We see all falling into place. But what I'm saying is, guys, listen, the Bible says that when that door closes, that door closes. Remember the parable Jesus gave of the virgins? They were invited to the wedding. It says, those who were ready went into the wedding feast. But those who were not ready, the door was closed and they couldn't enter. And they banged on the door and said, Lord, open the door to us also. Come on, we knew about you. You walked in our streets. We heard your Bible studies. Let us in. He said, get this. Depart from me, I never knew you. Do you think He never knew them personally? Oh yeah, He knew them personally. What He was saying to them is, I never knew you spiritually. You were born once in the flesh, but you were never born twice in the spirit. And therefore, you were not allowed into the wedding feast, into the kingdom, if you will. And guys, that's where it brings us to that decision. The acceptable year of the Lord. Now I want to finish up with this. Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 61. Back in the left of your Bible, turn left. Go back to Isaiah 61. It's about in the middle of your Bible, except a little bit to the right. You'll get to these large prophetic books as far as in the length of them. Isaiah chapter 61, because this is what Jesus was reading. And so we want to look where Jesus stopped. It is very interesting, the place that Jesus chose to stop, because guys, He chose to stop in mid-verse. He didn't finish the rest of it. He didn't finish the thought, if you will. Notice what He says in chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord That's where he stopped, guys. Because look what would have been next if he'd have kept reading. To finish that thought, and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, why did Jesus stop there? Because, guys, listen, here's what he's saying. Let me have your eyes again. Here's what he's saying. He's saying right now, during this present age, the doors are open wide to the kingdom. But if you miss this opportunity, if you miss this present age, there's going to come the day of the vengeance of our God. Now, who is he going to bring vengeance on? Not just, again, not grandma and apple pie. Listen, these are people that have rejected Jesus Christ and turned their back on God. But for those who have rejected Jesus Christ and turned their back on God, he said there's going to come a day when there's going to be a judgment. And what Jesus was saying is, right now is the acceptable time. This is the moment that you need to make that decision. Don't wait until later, because we don't know when the Lord's going to come back. This is the acceptable year. He stopped reading because when he comes back, it will be what? He will finish the thought. And the day of the vengeance of our God. You know, guys, the Bible says that Jesus came the first time as a lamb to die. But it says he's coming the second time as a lion to conquer. And the question is, are we going to be ready for him when he comes back? Are we going to be in a position where we can say, all right, you know, Lord, I've given my life to you. I'm ready to go. And guys, that's where the Lord's bringing them to. And I think where we finish up today, and that is time for decision. Now, let me just say a couple of things real quick as we wrap this up. Number one is, listen, are you spiritually poor? You know if you are. Already, I've been talking to you. Right now, listen, God's prompting your heart to make a decision to let him minister to that area. Spiritually poor. You realize, you know what? I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am spiritually bankrupt. I am spiritually broke. Guys, the Lord is here today for this purpose, to meet you in power. That's why he came. Do you have a broken heart? Do you feel that it's shattered in pieces? That it's crushed? Listen, the reason he came, the purpose of his coming, was to touch your broken heart today. You might have come in with a broken heart. You may have come in with a heart that's shattered. You don't have to walk all those back doors with your heart shattered, because Jesus can touch it and he can heal it. Why else did he come? Well, guys, do you feel you've been taken captive? You don't understand, Pastor Mark. I've been fighting with this thing for years. I mean, I just can't get away from the drugs. I can't get away from the alcohol. I can't get away from whatever it might be. Nobody can set me free. Listen, you're a spiritual PLW. Jesus came for you, and he can set you free today. All you've got to do is ask him. You're the one that's got to make the decision. Maybe you're the one that says, yeah, well, I'm spiritually blind. I don't really call myself spiritually blind because I consider myself an intellectual. And I just happen to not believe that the Bible could be really the word of God, because I've studied this and I've studied that. And God says, you know what? Listen, you need the blinders removed. The God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4, has blinded the eyes so that you cannot see. You need to have the blinders removed so that you can see. And maybe God's convicting your heart right now. And you're saying, you know what? That is me. I really do. Okay, Lord, I don't know. But God, if it's real, then show me. God, if it's true, then show me. God, let me know. And then God will begin to reveal. And God's showing some of you right now in your heart already that it is real. He's letting you know, but you're the one that has to make the decision. Again, he's not going to force it on you. He's very much a gentleman. And some of you here today are feeling very much right now weighed down. You're overburdened. You're overwhelmed. Whether it's the family, maybe the marriage is about to fall apart. Maybe it's work. Maybe you're about to lose your job. Maybe you're overwhelmed because of your kids and trying to, whatever the case might be. Listen, you're heavy and you're weighed down. Understand, guys, Jesus didn't only come to save the lost. He also came to lift the weight off of the overwhelmed. And I want to say this. If we could wrap it up in a nice little package, it would be this. Whatever your need is here today, Jesus is here in power right now to meet it. But guys, you've got to make a decision. You've got to say, you know what? Okay, Lord, I realize I am spiritually bankrupt. I realize, God, that I am blinded. I realize, Lord, that all these things are going on. As the pastor's been talking, you've been speaking in my heart, and your spirit's been convicting me, and I realize that there is something here that I don't have and that I need, and today I want to make that decision. Guys, listen, this is the acceptable time of the Lord, because the Bible says there's going to come a time when it runs out and there won't be that choice anymore. I encourage you, make that decision today. And it might be a first-time decision to give your life to the Lord, and it might be just saying, God, I need you to meet the purpose that you fulfilled in my heart. Guys, whatever the case might be, why don't we pray and ask God to do that even now? And listen, as we pray, all it takes to ask Jesus Christ in your heart is, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross. Lord, I give my life to you. And guys, the rest he takes care of. Remember, his job is to do the work. Our job is to get to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you, Lord God, for the fact that you did come, Lord, to save us. And I want to say, Lord, right off the bat, first and foremost, important thing that you have done for us is you died for our sins. And Lord, because of that, we can be reconnected to God. And Lord, we need not be excluded from your kingdom. But Lord, we can be a participant. We can be a part in your kingdom and walk in your kingdom. But Lord, this morning, every group is here. Lord, there are some here that are spiritually bankrupt. They are spiritually poor this morning, Lord. And I know they're spiritually poor because with a group this size, we've got some. And right now, God, you've been speaking to their heart saying, you know what? You need to give your life to me. You need to ask forgiveness of your sins. You need to ask me to come into your heart and give your life to me, and I will set you free. And Lord, there are others here today that their heart is broken. And Lord, they just feel that life is over. There's nothing else to live for. But Jesus, you came for that purpose, to heal that broken heart. God, there are some that are blind. There are some that are confused. There are some that have been taken captive. Lord, there are some that are in every different condition here this morning. And I just pray, God, that right now, if there's any in here that know you, and yet they have these conditions in their life, that they would lay it right now at the foot of the cross. Lord, they would lay it at your feet, and Lord, they could let you take that burden off of them, because that's the purpose for which you came. And Lord, rather than leaving here with the same weight they came in, they leave here rejoicing. And Lord, if there's any here today that say, well, I've never given my life to the Lord at all, and every one of these fit me, whatever the case might be, Lord, I just pray that today would be the day. This is the acceptable time. This is the year of grace. This is the moment when the doors to the kingdom have been swung wide open, and all who will believe and all who will receive will enter the kingdom. God, do a work today, Lord, for it's by your power that anything gets done. We bless you and we thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.